Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ask anyone how they'd like to be remembered when they're gone from this world. We'll hear all kinds of responses: brave, intelligent, successful, wise, maybe. But topping the list for many of us, strong. We want to be known as strong. Almost no one, though, will mention the one thing we all actually are: vulnerable. Some of us are more so than others, of course, by virtue of our age or health or job or immigration status. Some score higher on the need scale than others. But if this virus has taught us anything, we are all subject to forces that are beyond our control. None of us can take our health for granted now, not when simply leaving our homes can endanger us. None of us is immune to the choices of our political leaders, even as those choices have vastly different impacts. None of us is exempt from at least the possibility of dying apart from our loved ones. Face masks seem like flimsy protection against the kinds of dangers we're facing, not just physical and financial, but spiritual and emotional as well. I'm not sure which is more exhausting, the constant vigilance we put into protecting ourselves from these threats or the frantic energy we spend denying them. In the meantime, the walls that supposedly keep us safe can also trap us and make it harder to imagine a better, more spacious future. We don't want to be needy. And yet our needs these days are inescapable. When our weaknesses are laid bare like this, what does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to be faithful? And where is God in all of this? And so begins our third in a sermon series on Easter in this time of pandemic. We've heard from Jeffrey about the uncertainty and loss we're facing, from Jim about the dissonance and survivor guilt we're experiencing and the questions they raise. But what happens once we peel back a layer or two of privilege? We come face to face with our vulnerability, our need. At the very least, our scriptures for today help us to name that need honestly. We might not like being compared to sheep, but the needs are pretty similar. A stable food supply, direction when we're lost, protection from predators, place to rest. We can't get much help meeting those needs until we admit that they're there, so that's a first step, I suppose. And there's a striking realism here as well. In the psalm, we don't get to go around the valley of the shadow of death. We can't sidestep it or pretend it isn't there. And those who trouble us, those who threaten us with their difference, they aren't erased from the picture either. We might, in fact, end up seated at the same table with them someday. Our needs might just be wrapped up in theirs. At the same time, the gospel doesn't erase the thieves and bandits in our midst or deny their power. There will always be those who try to take advantage of our fear and vulnerability, pretending that bad leaders don't exist or that we're beyond their reach will not make our lives any easier. If we can at least name them for who they are, we're less likely to be led astray by them. We're less likely to join them in scapegoating those whose more obvious needs remind us of our own. And surely it is good to know that we do not belong to the loudest voices on our TV screens, that our value is not set by them. Whatever strength might look like in these days, it consists in part in knowing who is worth listening to, who is truly worth following. We learn some things in these passages about what a leader worth following looks and sounds like. If we're looking for the risen Christ's version of protection and provision in these days, here is a place to begin. A good shepherd knows when we need to stay inside the sheepfold and when it's safe to go outside again. A good shepherd also recognizes the necessity of a gate, a door that swings both in and out. Note that it's a gate, not a wall. Walls are only designed to keep things out. They're a one-sided, fear-based kind of safety. Gates are designed to let us come in, as well as to go out and find pasture. Gates respect the need for safety on both sides. They can be open as well as closed. And a good shepherd knows when the time is right for both. A good shepherd takes the time to know us by name and has a voice we can trust. We know from our own experience how that voice has protected and provided for us before and given us the abundance we've needed in the past to provide for others. We might need some help remembering those moments now, but when these fears of scarcity threaten to drown out everything but the noisy present, it's the thieves and the bandits who thrive on noise. They depend on chaos to prop themselves up and mask their own needs. A good shepherd recognizes that in order to hear the most helpful voices, we need quiet. We need calm. We need to lie down sometimes. We need still waters. When it's finally time to leave the sheepfold, a good shepherd goes ahead of us to show us the way. A good shepherd doesn't delude us into denying our dangers, but walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. I love how the translation of Psalm 23 that we use in the Spanish service puts it. The rod and the staff of the good shepherd don't just comfort us. They literally infuse breath in us. In other words, they instill courage in us. You see, a good shepherd isn't interested in bullying us or becoming strong at our expense. A good shepherd helps us to develop our own strength. So where might we find strength and faithfulness in this time of pandemic? Where might we find God? Perhaps it's not as hard or as exhausting as we might think. Perhaps it's not about doing more or working harder for once. What if we don't have to talk ourselves out of our feelings of loneliness or lostness? What if we don't have to justify this time with our superior spiritual insight? After all the sheep do at first is listen. Why don't we start there? Listen. Listen for the voice that cares for your safety, but also for the safety and vulnerability of those beyond our borders. Listen for the voice that is more interested in gates that can open someday than in walls that stay closed. Listen for the voice that dares you to be generous and to practice abundance. Listen for the voice that sees the whole world as God's house, the voice that cannot wait for us all to enjoy it again. Perhaps above all, listen for the voice that invites calm, that instills courage in you. Listen for that voice, and God cannot possibly be far away. In the name of the one who honors our vulnerability and makes us strong. Amen.